Hello, Todd.
Hey, Chad.
We're back again. Hello, everyone at home. Happy beer drinking. How's everyone doing?
Chad, I'm great. How are you? No one ever asked you.
I'm doing great. I'm here and drinking a beer. It was a beautiful day out today in Boston. It's like extremely hot, like over almost 80 degrees.
You know how much Charlotte I like talking about the weather.
Matt's coming from Charlotte. How's Charlotte's weather right now?
I went to Charlotte once. It was 100 degrees. It was too hot. we're in a new city that has some famous weather patterns. Chad, where are we?
We are entering Seattle, Washington. Washington is our next beer city.
I love the Pacific Northwest. Hey, Chad, I have a pop quiz question for you.
I'm not ready for this.
I know. I needle Chad relentlessly because he's the only person I know who doesn't care at all about sports. So can you name the Seattle professional football team?
The Seahawks.
Yeah, that's right.
Seahawks? Right?
Yeah. That's good. All right, Chad, give your intro.
I went like Eagles, and then I was like, they're both kind of birds, but Eagles, I was like, that's Philly. Because I've been watching Welcome to Wrexham, which is a great show.
Well, all right, Chad, why are you qualified to run this podcast? Tell the people who you are, who are listening.
All right, everyone. So, hello, I'm Chad. I'm your host for this month, and I'm also the CEO and founder of City Brew Tours, and also a certified Cicerone, which is a sommelier for beer. Been a long day, Todd.
I can't wait to drink a beer. I'm Todd. I live in Vermont, which makes me qualified to talk about beer at any length, but I'm our Chief Innovation Officer here at City Brew Tours, and I'm very excited to break into our first beer. Chad, what do we have first?
So we've got some great beer happening this month, and so we're featuring this month. We're going to be drinking Fremont and Georgetown beer. So two great breweries coming out of Seattle, Washington. So the first beer that we'll be drinking is our Sour Ale. Goza. So it's the Fremont Goza. Unfortunately, my box did not arrive in time, so I do not have the Fremont Goza to be drinking with everyone, which is very disappointing. But their Goza is, they do a different Goza every season. And this season, it's a Goza with blood orange, lime, and sea salt. So can't wait to get into that. Todd, what did you think the name of this Goza was?
I thought it was called Down and Dirty. I was doing my very difficult prep for the show, and I took a Down and Dirty overview of the beer as the name of the beer, and Chad was not very nice to me about it, but I'll get through it. So we've got two row pale malt, white wheat, unmalted white wheat, rolled oats, U.S. Goldings hops, ground coriander, orange extract, blood orange extract, lime zest, and San Juan sea salt. So that's a lot of ingredients. So Chad, when we're at a 4.5% low on the IBU or clocking in at a 10, what are some of the defining characteristics of a Goza?
Gozas are one of my favorite beer styles. I call them the Gatorade of beer. So if you're going to go for a long run, you want a Goza after it. It's got electrolytes in it from that sea salt. It's tart. It's refreshing. It's on a 70-degree day today. It is one of the best. And Fremont's known for doing interesting beers like Goza. So Fremont was founded in 2009 by Sarah Nelson and Matt Lisensum, I probably am butchering his.
Nope, definitely nope, not a sports fan. Lincecum.
Lincecum. All right. and they're in the West Woodland area. And really, they're known for their barrel aging. So a Fremont Brewing has a very robust barrel program. And if you're into beer trading, if you have some of their barrel aged beer, you've got some good material that you can trade with.
Yeah. It's one of the premier programs in the US. You know, you think about it with some of the bigger breweries for barrel age. So it's cool to get a Goza in from them, which is gonna be kind of a 180 from their barrel aged program. And I'm glad that we could feature it. Some other fun things to know about Fremont, it's that their production brewery in Ballard is one of the biggest in the city, which there's a lot of beer in Seattle, so that's really saying something. We're hint, hint, we're going to talk to a very big brewery in a minute. Chad, I would like my first Seattle fun fact.
More fun facts? All right.
I want one at one.
Only one. Will I have a chance to do more than one, or just I have to pick one of these?
Yes, I want one right now.
I'm going to go with their hot dog. The Seattle hot dog, cream cheese and onions. That's, if you want a hot dog Seattle style, that's the way you have to go.
I grew up in Chicago. We talked about that. I actually think that everyone in Seattle should be jailed, and that must be stopped. I don't know if I'll try one. There's some things you just don't do, but then I was thinking about it and it kind of gets into this, like, meat, like it kind of has like breakfast sandwich vibes without the egg.
Cream cheese though. I mean, I love cream. Speaking of down and dirty, I'll get down and dirty with cream cheese. I love cream cheese and I'll put it on pretty much anything, but on a hot dog, it sounds weird. Who in the chat would eat the Seattle style hot dog? Matt thinks it's super weird.
I think I would. I don't know if I would like it. I
might have. Brian says, yes, give me that glizzy. Don't know what that means, but okay.
Glizzies are hot dogs, Chad.
Oh, glizzies are hot dogs?
Yeah, you're not hip enough yet.
Damn, I didn't know there was cool vernacular for hot dogs.
Glizzy, it's a great rebrand.
Was that of the hot dog, not of the hot dogs, of the fun facts, was that the one you thought I was going to pick? Or
yes, or no? It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like, that's just not a, it's, yeah, it's too much.
Can I get a fun fact?
Yes, you can. And I am going to... Okay, this one, I feel particularly connected to this one due to the summer that we've had in Vermont. 9 inches of rain in the month of July. That's too much rain. So, Seattle, known for its rain, actually, we're well actuallying you, Chad, gets less annual rainfall than Miami, New York City, and Houston.
Houston, that's crazy to me, because you think Seattle and rain, but not much more than New York or Houston. Crazy.
I think we should pause our fun facts and bring in a local.
I think so too.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Matt said his go-to hot dog is a hot dog with fries, coleslaw, and barbecue sauce all on the hot dog. Is that right?
I don't know. That sounds crazy to me. Oh,
there he is.
There. All right. I'd like to introduce everyone to Drew, who is Georgetown, the other brewery that we're featuring tonight, resident beer geek. He is also their head of sales from Seattle all the way up to the border. And he's been a tour guide for Seattle brewery tours. So this guy knows Seattle craft beer. So thank you so much, Drew, for joining us this evening.
Thanks, guys. Happy to be here.
Amazing. So tell us a little. Let's start with Georgetown beer. Start with the heavy hitters. What do you want everyone to leave here knowing about Georgetown beer?
We started out just making one beer. Back in 2003, we had a pale ale, and it was called Manny's, and it kind of took off. Since then, we've been able to expand. We now make 6 beers year-round. Maybe that's about it. Yeah, so we do the Manny's pale ale, our Bodhisattva IPA. We've got Johnny Utah pale ale, Lucille IPA, the Rogers Pilsner, and then our 9-pound porter. And then we do a 6-month rotating can, and then that's about it. We do special draft releases for the local market a few times a year. And other than that, all the fun experimental stuff is generally just out of the brewery.
All right, that's been great. All right, we'll catch you next time.
So Bodhi, right? That looks like that's what we're drinking tonight. I'm butchering it. Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva, did I get it?
Bodhisattva, yeah? You got it.
Oh, damn it. Bodhisattva. The H-I was, I don't know what I did. Whatever. Can you tell us about this beer that we are featuring this evening?
Sure. Yeah. So this beer we had made a couple times back in 2014, 2015. A relatively remarkable change from the way IPAs were going back then. Kind of that time of the 2000s, everyone was trying to make these really bitter IPAs. And we wanted to make one that was a little bit softer on the palate. So we introduced oats. So high protein grain is going to help mitigate some of the bitterness from the hops. And we brought it into production as a full-time draft beer. And then in 2016, it won gold for best IPA at Great American Beer Festival. And then it was on. So now we had to make enough that we could start sharing with people.
Getting a gold at GABF for an IPA, I feel like that's like hitting the lottery. That's
hundreds of entries every year.
Yeah. It was so cool. It was so cool. We're just happy that everybody likes our beer.
Yeah, as you should be. So second question, probably of equal importance, Georgetown, tell us about the neighborhood. Why, like, a lot of breweries are in neighborhoods. Not every brewery names themselves after their neighborhood. What's the connection with Georgetown? And then we're going to learn about Point Break because.
So
carry that lead.
Georgetown, the neighborhood, is pretty cool, pretty industrial, still nice and gritty. It's at the very north end of Boeing Field, and it actually houses like the historical old Rainier Brewery that they operated up until the 70s. And so at one point, that building was one of the top 10 biggest breweries in the world. And so we started out in a small outbuilding as part of that complex. So from there, we were making as much beer as we could in that space. In about 2010, we moved to our current location at 5200 Denver.
So to just so I can get things straight, your brewery is called Georgetown. You're on Denver Street, and we find you in Seattle.
Yep, not Georgetown, Colorado. Not Georgetown, Texas.
Not Georgetown, D.C.
Georgetown, D.C.
Nope, none of that.
The Georgetown, I think.
I do believe that is what the neighborhood was named after, was somebody was homesick when they settled there.
Huh. That is a fun fact.
Only if it's true.
That's also true. A fun lie, too.
I thought so.
I was doing my research for this and looking at Wikipedia, the best place to find information.
Excellent research.
And it said that Georgetown was the largest draft only brewery at one point. Is that true?
That is correct. We say we are the largest draft only in the country, and then maybe the world, but there's not really figures for that. But yeah, by the time we started actually packaging our beer, we were making about 55,000-60,000 barrels of beer a year. So we built the company serving our bars and restaurants, so just draft beer. And then after that GABF when we decided we need to find a new way to get our beer out to the people. And so we started canning some of our beers.
I'm going to need to hit the, you know, on Netflix, like the go back 15 seconds because someone texted me and I missed something. Did you just say that you were doing 60,000 barrels a year without packaging them?
We were selling a lot of kegs.
That is insane.
Our
That's
retail space.
It sounds fake. Are you sure? That's
So
why,
our
that's when I saw on Wikipedia, I saw this fact that I was like, I have to fact check this because Wikipedia can be wrong. Anyone can write it. And that's a bold statement to say, especially
That's so
draft,
much
because
beer. Cl
draft
closer to
is so hard
55,000.
to
Closer to
compete.
55,000.
Still, that's amazing. That's
It was so cool, right? And I mean, since we built ourselves as a draft-focused brewery, that's always the goal, is we're going to fill our kegs with beer before we fill our cans.
I love that. I love that.
That's
That
impre
gives the
that's
neighborhood feel,
impressive.
right? Because that's sending it out to places where people are gonna, are people gonna drink it together, right?
Yeah.
Instead
Well,
of maybe at home.
so our first beer that the Manny's, it has always been draft only. During the pandemic, at the very beginning, when things were really intense and all the bars and restaurants were shut down, we did a couple big runs of just Manny's cans, and we were able to donate all the money to out of work restaurant and bar workers. And so people ask, are you going to can Manny's again? Are you going to can Manny's again? No, hopefully not. The idea is you got to go to your local bar or restaurant and support another small business.
That's great. I love that story.
So speaking of drinking beer with other people, can you walk us, and you're as one sales guy to another, can you give us the skinny on Bodhisattva?
Sure.
Give us your taste, at your pitch on it.
I mean, Bodhi is an excellent go-to all-around IPA. It's not a hazy IPA. We describe it as it being dusty. So, you know, if you pour it into from your can into a glass,
Dusty.
you'll see there's a little bit. It's not a haze, it's dusty, right? And so all of our beer
I
is
love that.
unfiltered, but it does pass through a centrifuge to determine what clarity is going to be. That also helps us maintain consistency across all the brands. So,
That's interesting that it goes through a centrifuge while you
yeah.
still keep it, because that's usually the point of a centrifuge, is
Yep,
to
to
get
clear that
all
stuff up,
that.
right?
Yeah, exactly. But you guys just do it so you keep that consistency. That's really cool.
Yep, and just depending on what speed we're running the centrifuge at will determine the clarity level.
Okay. I think we need a let's break for a second. All right, guys, what is a centrifuge? A centrifuge is a device that.
Oh yeah, pretty much the beer is going to go in one port, it's going to spin around, and it's going to separate any solids or like particulates in there from the liquid. And then the liquid's going to go out and it will kind of separate those solids from the liquids. And it's what's going to allow us to make beer that is either going to be really crisp and clear or stuff that's going to be a little more hazy. And it's going to let us do that consistently.
Great. Thank you for sorry
Amazing.
for that
So
rewind
then,
introduction.
dust aside, or dusty appearance
Just
aside,
aside. How does
let's
that do from a sales, sorry, how does that do from a sales pitch? Like when you say
Generally, I
things
don't
are
get into the
dusty,
centrifuge.
no, but the dusty side, when you get into like these beers are so dusty, you're gonna want
How dusty are they? They're so
them.
dusty, they won a
You
gold
come and you come with
GABF.
little. What's the dust the dust thing? What
Duster.
a duster. I don't know if there's a formal term
But where did the
for
name
a
come from?
duster.
A duster.
A
Okay, to go back on the rails a little bit, can you
feather
walk us?
duster. Sorry, Todd. That's what I was looking for. Feather duster.
Yep. Give us the tasting notes. What are we looking for? What are people going to get out of the Bodhi?
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty darn citrusy. So we use a ton of citra hops in this. It's kind of one of those industry darlings right now. And then we also will use a ton of Mosaic, which is another one of those, you know, holy trinity of hops right now. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit less piney than a like West Coast IPA, certainly more citrusy, a little more tropical, a little fruitier. And then it's also going to be much less bitter just because of the presence of those oats that are in there in addition to the barleys.
All right, now we got to get into Point Break.
Please.
Shout out Gary Busey and young Keanu. So, who's
Oh,
the
yeah.
fan? All of you? Is it on at the brewery
I mean,
nonstop?
it's definitely all of us. But so the brewery is owned by two dudes, Manny and Roger, and Manny is the big Point Break fan. So funny you mentioned Gary Busey. We have made a beer named after his character, Angelo Pappas. The beer was called Pappas, double IPA. We've done about like 20 different Point Break beers. So obviously, Bodie's Offa is named after Patrick Swayze. He's Bodie. My God, guys, if you haven't seen this movie, like, should I avoid spoilers? It came out in 91.
No, you're there that
That time has
passed.
passed. Oh my God. So Keanu Reeves plays Special Agent Johnny Utah of the FBI, and he goes undercover to investigate this gang of surfers who are robbing banks to fund their endless summer. And they just surf around the world and they come back in the summer and rob a bunch of banks. Oh my God. It's awesome.
It's perfect.
It is. It is. And so Manny loves that movie. And yeah, we've made some crazy beers named after some weird characters from that film.
I'm gonna
Tremendous.
have
I
to
love
rewatch it. I don't remember it.
for
I don't think
yourself.
I probably have seen it, but I don't remember it.
It's
Terrible.
so good.
Terrible that I hadn't seen it. Not a terrible movie.
You haven't seen it ever?
It sounds familiar, but I feel like I need to watch it as an adult.
I think you have homework.
I have homework. And
You have homework
when
now.
we're before this, we were saying this is part of the orientation of becoming an employee at Georgetown, right?
Yes. I tried to watch it every time we came out with the new Point Break name beer, but after like the sixth one, I could just repeat the movie. I didn't really need to be watching anymore.
Amazing.
What's your favorite beer named after a Point Break reference, and what was the reference?
Oh, that would be War Child. Okay, do you need me to set the scene for you?
I think I
Please.
do.
So Keanu Reeves is out there learning to surf. He pisses off this like other local gang of surfers, and they pretty much get him on the beach, and they're gonna beat him up. And then that's when Bodhi steps in and says, "Back off, War Child, seriously." And then they all get in a scuffle. And so War Child is our next like rotating seasonal six pack can coming out. It's not quite a double IPA. It's just right around 8% and pretty dank, pretty aggressive. That's probably my favorite name of a Point Break beer.
I love that. That is
That's
great.
amazing. Another thing that I appreciate about as I was doing my research, I have to get everyone has to go to georgetownbeer.com and then read the about section. I've read a million
Here,
about sections.
let's link it.
It's an all-timer.
I got it.
It's so good. So usually how I perceive about sections of breweries is it tells you a little bit into the culture of the brewery, you know, like the more corporate-y, the more fun or the more family oriented is usually going to be the vibe of the brewery. Do you, what how do you describe the Georgetown beer brewery culture?
I mean, we're all a bunch of weirdos that come together to make and sell some good stuff. There, so what's cool is like, even though we have grown as much as we have, there's still only about 70 employees. Like on the first day of hire, their manager walks them around, introduces them to everybody. So like whenever I'm there in the morning, I say hi to every single person as I'm walking by. And even the new
Amazing.
people, I'm gonna annoy them and scare them until they, learn who I am.
Annoy them and scare them. I love that.
I mean, make them feel loved. I mean, yeah,
Yeah,
we can.
same thing.
I mean, we don't get to do what we do. I don't get to go out and sell beer unless we've got the people in the tap room talking about it, selling it by the pint, and all of our team in the back that are doing all that hard work making the beer. So the least I can do is to get to know everybody, right?
Absolutely.
That's a tremendous culture. Something that people always like to know is, and you're since you're this the sales guru, how many states is Georgetown beer in? How
So,
far do you get it?
still relatively limited distribution. The idea is, keep the beer close to home. You can make sure it's good. So we sell our beer across Washington, Idaho, Oregon, and we opened up the Montana market last year. That's about it. And then we're big in Japan too.
Oh, interesting. What's the total production then for Georgetown now?
Total barrels, we're probably around 120,000 barrels.
That is impressive.
That's for
such, such a small distro in an area.
So if you thought it was crazy that it took us so long to actually start packaging our beer, it took us 16 years to start selling pints of beer at the brewery. So for the longest time, you could come into the brewery, you could sample everything that we had for free, and then we sold growlers and merch and kegs to go, and that was it. So now you can still come in and try the beer if you want to try it, but you can also hang out, get a flight, get a pint or two, and we've got some indoor seating and outdoor seating. It took a long time to get there, but we just kind of wanted to add to the experience when people are actually at the brewery.
That's great. And that was just a choice that you guys made to do. It wasn't like legal ramifications for serving beer. You just decided, let's have a great experience.
Yep. We just wanted to
focus on the experience and letting people experience Georgetown.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You can hang out, you can sit there, you can have a beer, you can watch whoever's on production making your favorite batch of Bodie.
Watch Point Break.
No, you're going to have to bring your own Point Break. There's no TVs.
Oh,
We make beer.
Good. 120,000 barrels. Do you know where that ranks you in biggest independently owned craft breweries in the U.S.? Because I do.
Pretty high.
I think it's probably around 25, 30.
I got you at 31, according to Google, which is like insane. That's
for such small distro. Four states.
It's awesome. And like I said, we're just happy that everyone likes the beer that we make.
Yeah. My thing that I want everyone to take away is selling that much beer out of your brewery and in kegs to like local restaurants is not an easy thing. It's super, super impressive.
Yeah. Especially in today's
we work with distributors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we can't do this on our own.
Andrew himself delivers 100,000 kegs a year.
I would be driving a way bigger truck, I'll say that.
Yeah. Andrew and his CDL are on the move again. Chad, do you have any final questions for our gracious guest from the
podcast? Yeah, so you were tour guide at Seattle Brewery Tours, and you probably know a ton being a Seattle native. We'd love to hear your fun fact that you, me and Todd gave, not from Seattle fun fact. So I'd be curious to hear what someone was Seattleite,
I believe is the term.
A Seattleite?
Yep.
Light? Seattleite?
Yeah. I think the word satellite.
Seattle. Sounds like you're just butchering Seattle. Love that. So what's a Seattleite fun fact about Seattle?
I mean, one thing that I loved when I was doing beer tours is just how many breweries we had, not only in Seattle, but across the state. And when I got into beer in like 2009, there was 130 breweries, and now there's over 450. And so what's really cool is we're seeing a lot of great breweries out in Yakima, where they actually grow like a big chunk of the world's supply of hops. It's like one of the most productive hop growing regions in the entire world. And right now we have brewers from around the world coming to Seattle, driving to Yakima and doing their hop selection. So they're actually going out in the fields and they're picking which specific lot from which farm, or which type of hop that they want to buy. And then this weekend they do a big fresh hop beer festival. It sounds awesome and very, very taxing on the body. it's one that I will get to one of these days.
Yeah, it's interesting. Fresh hop, I feel like, was doesn't get its fair shake across the country. There's actually in Vermont, I think it's this weekend. There's a
You just
fresh
gonna
hop
fresh
IPA
hop?
festival. Yeah.
Cool.
Because there's starting to be enough hop production in the Champlain Valley. But outside of that, like, fresh hop IPAs need a resurgence. So.
I mean, it's a big deal over here for sure, because you'll have, production managers or brewers that will pretty much sleep in Yakima, get up pretty much as soon as those hops are coming out of the field. They go in their truck. So at our brewery, they would like call when they're on top of Stevens or Snoqualmie Pass and say, "Hey, I'm at the pass, start making the beer." And then they pull up to the loading dock, unload the truck, and they're pretty much throwing them in as fast as you could possibly do it. The only way
That
you could
is
get
crazy.
fresher hops beers if you were making it out in the field.
Wow.
That's so
I
fun.
it's not just like, oh, these are whole cone. For people, fresh hops are whole cone hops that are fresh. So they were recently
Picked
picked,
within
but
24 hours.
yeah.
so that's but to hear like, all right, start the boil. We'll be there in
We're an hour and
two
a half
minutes.
away. Let's do this.
It's the plot of Ocean's 15.
So
That's
funny.
logistically impressive. Yeah, and I hope that that style makes it sort of gets its fair shake across the country, which it sounds like it's probably tricky to do, right? You're lucky that you're a couple hours away, but you're not getting fresh hop IPAs in Oklahoma
Unless you're in the
enough.
Pacific Northwest, right? Or anywhere on that, I guess that 42-degree latitude line. So you can get them in New Zealand and some other good
I know. I
hop
bet they have a
growing
nice fresh
areas.
hop festival sometime in the spring. Sounds like
Exactly.
a good research trip for
I
you guys to go do.
think so. All right, Todd, New Zealand.
think I could do
All right.
that.
Drew, thank you so much for chatting with us, telling us about Georgetown. You guys are crushing it in Seattle, as well as like the whole area. It sounds like people are loving the Bodhi IPA. And so thank you. Do you have anything you want to plug before you leave about Georgetown? People coming to
I mean,
Seattle.
we're just happy that everyone likes our beer. There's a lot of really good beer in Seattle, and we happen to be in the middle of an industrial area, but it's a perfect pit stop between downtown and the airport. So we'll see you with your suitcase on your way into town.
Do you have a place to store suitcases when people are coming off their red
There's room. There's room.
Awesome, Andrew.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you when we're in Seattle.
All right, Chad, Todd, thanks a lot, guys.
Our pleasure. All right. And as always, you too, if you want to try the Bodhi and the Goza, you can also get beer shipped straight to your doorstep with the City Brew Tours Beer Club. You can find your subscription options at shop.citybrewtours.com. And in 2 weeks, we will continue through Seattle. Chad, anything else before we say goodbye?
No, I think that was an awesome way to start the Seattle craft beer scene, and
That
looking forward to
next time we'll figure
next
out if you
year.
can name their baseball team. No cheating.
We'll think about it. All
Bye, Chad. See you, everyone.
Bye, everyone.